Oh, this third hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We're not doing calendars on our holiday shows, but there are some New Year's Eve dances. And you keep in mind when you're doing all the revelries and doing all the stuff, you want to be sure and make sure that you keep safe, all righty, and drive safe. And if you've been indulging in those kinds of things that sometimes people indulge in on the holidays, just make sure that you're covered. Make sure somebody else does the driving for you, or that you don't indulge at all in some of that kind of stuff. So then that way you can always be safe and we can have you around for the next year. Okay? All right, here's one more from Tommy Sands.
Your childhood, it was stolen by sad and troubled times. Belfast was crying for some star to shine. It wasn't much like Christmas when peace was nowhere near. But now the star is shining and hope is in the air. Like the first time at Christmas time, I feel it in the breeze. All over Ireland, they're singing for peace. Like the first time, it's Christmas time, standing by your side, singing with the children, silent night. I can hear the small birds singing in the bushes of Tyrone. The piper in the dairy hair no longer plays alone. Go tell it on the mountain that sweeps down to the sea. All I want for Christmas is a land of love and peace. Like the first time, it's Christmas time, I feel it in the breeze. All over Ireland, they're singing for peace. Like the first time, Christmas time, standing by your side, singing with the children, silent love. I know your darling Mary, she never will return, and the young lads in the show band no longer sing their song, but all the ones so near and dear who filled you with delight will gently join in chorus and sing with us tonight. Like the first time, it's Christmas time, I feel it in the breeze. All over Ireland, they're singing for peace. Like the first time, it's Christmas time, standing by your side, singing with the children, silent night. Like the first time, it's Christmas time.
So wine and a pint of Guinness before we take our leave.
Three jolly rogues,
your monk and veil, a half of the whiskey, a glass of wine, and a pipe of Guinness before we take our leave. Three jolly roans stopped in a pub all on the Christmas Eve. We'll have a jug of punch, boys, before we take our leave. A jug of punch, a tartar from a tram, a scotch, a mug of ale, a half of a whiskey, a glass of wine, and a pint of Guinness before we take our leave.
Three jolly roans stopped in a pub all on the Christmas Eve. We'll have a jar of mead, boys, before we take our leave.
A jar of mead, a jug of punch, a tartar from a tram, a scotch, a mug of ale, a half of a whiskey, a glass of wine, and a pint of Guinness before we take our leave.
Three jolly roans stopped in a pub all on a Christmas Eve. We'll have a jigger of gin, boys, before we take our leave.
A jigger of gin, a jar of mead, a jug of punch, a tartar from a tram, a scotch, a mug of ale, a half of a whiskey, a glass of wine, and a pint of Guinness before we take our leave. Three jolly roans stopped in a pub all on a Christmas Eve. We'll have a sniffer of brandy, boys, before we take our leave. Slither of brandy, a jigger of gin, a jar of mead, a jug of punch, a tartar from a dram, a scotch, a mug of ale, a half an hour whiskey, a glass of wine, and a pint of Guinness before we take our leave.
Well, the banks and the schools and the post office are closed. You can park where you please and you won't get towed. The streets are empty and the stores are finally closed. It's Christmas morning. He got a tie and she got a book. They weren't supposed to peek, but they took a little look. Tell me, how long will it take for the dinner to cook? It's Christmas morning. There are so many presents underneath the tree. A few are for you, but the rest are all for me. And we gotta tip the super and the doorman. Can't you see it's Christmas morning? Christmas morning finally has come. It has meaning for each and every one. Christmas morning, I cannot believe. Just last night was Christmas Eve. In the Rockefeller Center, the big tree is shining bright. Skaters skate beneath it in the winter light. Like a picture on a Christmas card, everything looks right. On Christmas morning, and the homeless who have nothing will ask on Christmas Day for us to give them something. God, we wish they'd go away. Though there is no place for them to go, they have no place to stay on Christmas morning. Lying in a hospital, dying in a bed with AIDS, he deserved it, I have heard it said. Deck the halls with boughs of something, soon he will be dead on Christmas morning. Christmas morning finally has come, it has meaning for each and every one. Christmas morning, I'm afraid to say, life goes on Christmas Day. And the Prince of Peace was born on a Christmas Day in the little town of Bethlehem, not so far away from where a multitude has gathered in a warlike way. Christmas morning. So we watch the build-up, here we go again. There is sand, there are camels, but where are the wise men? Are they in Baghdad? Are they in Washington? It's Christmas morning. There are those who go to church, they kneel down to pray for loved ones who have left to serve so far away, and for a Middle Eastern baby born on that very day. It's Christmas morning. Christmas morning finally has come, it has meaning for each and every one. Christmas morning, I'm afraid to think, this time we are headed to the brink. From today we begin a brand new year. Let us all be hopeful, men and women of good cheer, and resolve to fight against stupidity and fear. It's Christmas morning, and as awful as the world can be, we are still alive, and if we're very careful, we might well survive. There are cures and solutions, and there is compromise. Christmas morning. Christmas is for children, I have heard it said. That's why King Herod hated the babe in the manger bed. They all came to worship and adore the child instead. Well, the banks and the schools and the post office are closed. You can park where you please and you won't get towed. The streets are empty and the stores are finally closed. It's Christmas morning.
Once upon the winds of autumn, not so very long ago, Away the far and gone down Nova Scotia way, there sailed a very gentle man called Captain Jeremy Brown. Jeremy was an Irishman, thanks be to God, and that was odd, too, for there's not too many Irishmen grow over there in Nova Scotia, so they tell me. Well, Jeremy had a little old boat, he did, and her name was Jeannie Teal, and a wee little hard-luck lot of a schooner was she, poor thing. For whenever Jeremy Brown was sailing one way, the wind was blowing the other, and whenever he was going east, the tide was running west, and he always missed the cargo by the day or the day by an hour, and nothing seemed to get him anywhere. So Jeremy spent the most of his days sitting by the stove in the main cabin, smoking his old clay pipe, and wondering whatever had he done to deserve it all. And little Jeannie Teal spent most of her time at anchor with her mainsail still up, waiting for the tide or the fog to lift or something. But you see, it wasn't even Jeremy Brown's fault. In fact, Jeremy couldn't have helped it if he'd tried, for the terrible truth of it is that Jeremy Brown had fairies in his yawl boat, and there wasn't a thing in the loving world he could do about it. They'd come aboard at Antigonish, you see, where Jeremy was waiting for the tide one morning. They were from the Cape Breton Shee, so they weren't exactly fairies, but Hogans, of the Angus and Dingle Hoganbeg stock, or so they said, the two of them. In fact, the old one with the green hat and the sea boots was Angus and Dingle Hoganbeg himself, or so he said. Now, it was bad enough having them about the premises, but it was worse than that having them in the yawl boat, because that was the little rowboat with a motor in it that Jeremy used to push Jeannie around with when there wasn't any wind, like a tugboat, you see. Now, the normal thing to do would be to cut the yawl boat loose in the middle of the night and let it drift away, but Jeremy couldn't do that because he didn't want to lose the yawl boat. And besides, they told him if he did, they'd put a fix on his rudder and make him sail around in figure eights for 20 years. They wouldn't even let him go ashore. Not that he would, you see, because the last place in the world to be is in a lapstrake rowboat with two roosters the likes of themselves. So there they sat, happy as you please. And every time Jeremy tried to go anywhere, they'd play their tricks on him. They scared the wind away and whistled up the fog. They hid his foghorn so he couldn't sail. They tickled his compass and ran him amongst the ledges. They switched his halyards and taught his jib sheets how to box, and they blistered the paint off Jeannie's hide with their hideous songs. Oh, they used him hard, they did. They'd sing all night. Old Angus would start it off singing, "Where have ye been, my canny honey? Where have ye been, my handsome man?" And the little Hogan, the one with the tummy, would holler, "I've been to the Norad, cruisin' back and forrad. I've been to the Norad, sailin' sore and lang. I've been to the Norad, cruisin' back and forrad. But I daren't go ashore for Angus and his gang." And there was the other one, too, that they used to tease him with. "I've seen Jeremy Brown with his anchor down," and all that. It went on forever. But then one day Jeremy had an idea. The year was getting on down into December, you see, and Jeremy was beginning to think about Christmas more and more. He had a terrible case of the Nova Scotia lonelies, and he began to think about his sister's little house away over in West Quacko, across the Bay of Fundy. And he thought about his little niece over there, and how he'd like to see her, and how happy she'd be to see Jeannie Teal come a-sailing in the harbor on a Christmas morning. And he thought, you know, I'll bet even the Dingle Hogans wouldn't stop me from doing such a nice thing, being for Christmas and all. Well, the more he thought, the better he felt, and the happier he got. And he jumped up out of his seat to go and tell Jeannie about his plans. And he's up the ladder and poked his head up out of the hatch, and oh, but a dear old wandering anguish, it was snowing. It was snowing so hard you couldn't see the toes in front of your feet. Poor old Jeremy Brown. So he trudged away forward to tell it all to Jeannie Teal. "Oh, Jeannie," he said, "'tis so sad I am. Here we are away out in northern Scotia, and me wanting to go over to West Quacko and bring the joy of Christmas to the little niece, and it's snowing away as blind as the middle of a pillow. Oh, Jeannie, what'll become of it all?" And Jeannie said, "Do you think it was old Angus and his friend that whistled up the snow, Jeremy? I saw them shaking out their long underwears yesterday, you know." "But the Darba wouldn't put it past those two hooligans," said Jeremy. Well, now, do you suppose if you went back and talked to them and told them about the Christmas and all, they'd blow away the snow and let us be on our way, said Jeanie. Why, I'll try that, said Jeremy. I'll go back and do my best now, such as it is. So back he went through the snow, and he stuck his head over the taffrail, and he hollered down to the yawl boat. Ahoy, and excuse me there, gentlemen, he said. The old Hogendingle, with the green hood and the sea boots, Angus was his name, came up out of the little house he'd built in the bow of the yawl boat, and he glared up at him. May your boots leak, he said. What's in your foggy old head? Well, no, your honor, Jeremy said. It's only that it's December, so it is, and I've been thinking, you see, that it'll soon be coming on Christmas at this rate. May your nose itch, you old blather slab. What's that to do with me? Well, you see, sir, Jeremy said, rubbing his nose, I have a wee little niece way over in West Quacko, and I know she'd love to be seeing me and Jeanie Teal of a Christmas morning, so she would. I don't give a twitch for your niece, you old stuffer. May your pipe stink. Say what you're after and leave me alone. Well, you see, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind slacking up on the snow a bit and leaving us all go across and make the little girl happy, seeing it's Christmas and all. You can stow your blab, you old lapstrake, slab-sided, two-reef tub of potatoes. We'll stay here as long as we like, and you can freeze your toes off if it doesn't suit you. Go away now and leave me alone, or I'll melt the teeth out of your head. Yes, sir, Jeremy said. And he slushed away through the snow to the main cabin, and very sad he was. The fire had gone out, so he lit that, and he took off his boots and sat down in front of it and lit his pipe, but he thought it smelled funny, so he put it down. And after a while he fell asleep, dreaming about the Bay of Fundy and his little niece away over in West Quacko. Well, sir, that day it got dark long before dark, and the wind got to thinking how much fun it would be to have itself a little dance, so it braced up and backed around into the northeast and began to blow. Jeanie Teal swung around on her anchor and began to pitch a little bit in the new waves, and Jeremy woke up and pulled on his coat and went up forward to talk to her about it. "What do you think she's doing, Jeanie?" he said. "Oh, she's twitched around northeast, Captain," Jeanie said, "and I think she may blow a little bit for the fun of it." "How's your anchor holding there, dear?" "Oh, not so good," Jeanie said. "Maybe you better put the other one over too, Jeremy." "Okay," said Jeremy, and while Jeanie swung away off to port, he let go the big port anchor and let out about 12 fathom of chain. Well, all that night the wind rose. It tried a little waltz and then a two-step from the northeast for a while, and then backed around to the north and blew away the snow so it could see better, and then settled in and began to blow like all the trumpets of the morning. So there at dawn was little Jeanie Teal, wild-eyed and pitching like a colt and leaving great claw marks down the harbor from her anchors dragging. Well, Jeremy saw that he'd better do something, so he went aft and leaned over the taffrail, and he could hear the two Hogans still singing away from the night before. "I hope you'll pardon me now, but ahoy!" he hollers. And old Angus, the Hogan Dingle, perks his head up out of the hatch and squints up at him.
"May your tongue fall out," he said. "What do you want now?"
"Well, I hate to be disturbing your revelries, your honors, but there's a mashing old storm about. And we're dragging all the anchors we've got, and I've got to shift old Jeanie, if it's all right with yourselves, to save us all, do you see?"
"May your head fall off. Move over then," hollers old Angus.
So Jeremy goes and gets the foresail up, and he and Jeanie go and get the anchors, and Jeanie wants a bit of head sail, so Jeremy sweats the staysail up, and they're off and away now, driving into the seas at a great old rate. And oh, it's across the wind they go, and among the ledges and down the bay, and the yawl boat dancing in their wake. And up she comes to another harbor. The sails come down and the anchor's over. "How's that, Jeanie?" Jeremy says. "Oh, no, laddie, it's much too small, and the water's too deep, and we'll drag ashore." So Jeremy's aft and over the rail and hollering down to the Hogan Beg.
"Pardon me, sirs, but ahoy again. We can't stay here on account of the deep and the harbor is small and we'll drag ashore."
"May your collar choke you," old Angus cries. "Move her then."
So it's in with a chain and sweat the staysail, and Jeanie's away with a bone in her teeth through the islands and up the bay and the yawl boat leaping in her wake.
"You know that looked all right to me," says Jeremy Brown.
But the wind is into the trombone now, and it's round the cape and past the shoals and into the river, and Jeremy lets the anchor go. "How's that for you?" says Jeremy Brown.
Poor old Jeremy, Jeannie says. I hate to make you work so hard, but the wind is hauling and the tide is falling, and if we lay here, we'll be soon ashore. So it's Jeremy after the yawl boat, Davidson, hollering down to old Angus below. Pardon me, boys, but it's me again. Jeannie says that the wind won't stay and the tide's away and we'd better go. Well, you know, it's you don't look well, I'm thinking.
Enough of the blather, you soggy old skate. Move your old slab and be done with it then,
old Angus hollers, and then says like an afterthought,
may your belt buckle burn ye.
So it's up with a hook and a reef in the foresail and out of the river mouth, he and a wah, and the yawl boat flying around behind. There was nothing wrong with that one now, says Jeremy Brown to himself. But the wind is into the second movement, full and by, and away they go, heel and toe with a lee rail under, out through the gut at the head of the bay. And suddenly Jeremy hears Jeannie calling to him, so he eases the mainsail and goes up forward to talk to her. What'll it be, old girl, says he. Jeremy Brown, says Jeannie, I think it's time you went aft and asked the Hogans where they'd like to be spending the night.
Out here? Ask them, well, what in the windy world for? We'll find a harbour sooner or late.
Just ask them, said Jeannie, the answer may surprise you. So Jeremy Brown, a bit bewildered, stumps down the deck to the stern again.
Pardon me, sirs, but it's only me with a word from Jeannie. She'd like to know,
and excuse me again, but you don't look well.
She'd like to know where you'd like to be spending the night.
And there by the deb with a Hogan beg, hanging on to the half-sunk yawl boat, green as the flowers of Christmas themselves.
Why, heavens to Mary, says Jeremy Brown, I do believe that it's seasick you are. Surely I never did know that the Hogan beg could get seasick.
Blather your knowing! Hoist us aboard or I'll scale your rigging and broil your moustache, old Angus growls.
But begging your honour, sirs, I'd never dare to hoist the yawl boat in all this sea. The schooner would sink us before I even got the tackles hooked up. I think I'd better go ask old Jeannie what's best to be done about it. And he starts away forward to talk to Jeannie Teal.
Nay, nay, Jeremy Brown,
old Angus shouts, and Jeremy's after the rail again. Now can I help you, he says to Angus.
Oh, aye, you bivering fool, old Angus growls. You know you can. Just take us in, man, any old place. We'll make a bargain with you. We'll take the curse off you sure enough and call the Hogan spell off and away if you'll only stop this terrible thrashing and take us in from the murder and sea.
And that's the trick, cries Jeannie Teal, and off she swings like a two-reef kite. West by south and away she goes, and it's through the narrows and up the river and round the corner and back to the same old cove. And she rounds up then in a biver of spray and a great shake of her lifts, and hollers out to Jeremy Brown, there now, Jeremy, give me the hook and get in your sails. We're as safe right here as we'll ever be. Back in the same old place, said Jeremy. Well, says Jeannie, we did have a nice little sail. Well, now that evening the storm went away to Newfoundland. So the wind went down, and the sun went down, and the tide came in, and the seas went away. And Jeremy let a rope down over the stern to the yawl boat, and the Hogans came up, and they all three went into the main cabin and had a short but solemn talk. The Hogans stood by the stove and steamed the water out of themselves, and promised Jeremy they'd play no more tricks on him and do all they could to help him across the Bay of Fundy to see his little niece in West Quacko. And they seemed to know all about Christmas, too. But just to be sure of it all, when everyone was talking away in the main cabin, Jeannie let the yawl boat swing around under her counter and just sat down on it a little bit and swamped it, and the salt water got all over the smokes and potions and spells and all. Well, the next morning, when Jeremy woke up in the bright main cabin, there was a frightening little figure of a thing standing beside his bunk. And there, by the bobstays of heaven, was the little Hogan, the one with the tummy, standing there as sure as the tide, with a great mug of coffee that smelled like the whole morning. And so in the blush of the day they went out and hoisted the yawl boat into the davits and pulled the plug and drained her out, and the Hogans went on board of her to air out their soggy affairs. And they got the anchor and shook out the reefs and got under way for old Cape Sable, all of a fine in a northwest wind. Angus went back to live in his little house in the yawl boat, but he was all alone about it. The tummy Hogan decided he liked it more in the galley, and oh, what a cook he was. And there he stayed all the way across the bay and made stump cookies and blueberry pancakes and butter dingles and blue-black coffee.
And all the way west across the Fundy, old Angus spent his time in the yawl boat to the tune of a very mysterious knocking and sawing and planing and all. But on some fine days you could see him stumping around the deck with his adze and auger and hammer and saw, patching up this and mending that, and giving the murderous scowl to you if you ever so much as admired his work. And oh, what a coming home that was. They made into the cut at West Quacko on the tide of the morning of Christmas, and tied right up to the dock. And never in all the days of your life will you see something so small as that little girl so happy. And when the first of the dancing was over, and the cakes and the cookies the Tummy Hogan had made were just disappeared, up comes old Angus out of the yawl boat with a look in his eye that would broil a whale, and the prettiest little model of Jeannie Teal in his hands, with all the paint and rigging and hatches and sails, real as ever she could be. Now, to be sure, he'd made her a little bit heavier in the quarters, but perhaps she deserved that. And that evening, when Jeremy Brown was up by the Catheads, sharing a last pipe with the sunset, Jeannie Teal says to him, "You know why Angus was such a mean old Hogan, Jeremy?" "Why in the world?" says Jeremy Brown. "Because he's not a Hogan at all. He keeps that hood up over his ears so you can't see them, but they're just like yours and mine, his ears." "You don't say," says Jeremy. "I do," says Jeannie. "I think he's just an angry little old man who likes to build things. And you're the only person who was ever nice to him, though he's too grumpy to say thank you. And I think we should ask him to stay."
"Even after we got him so wet?"
"He deserved to get wet," said Jeannie Teal, "and he should be asked to stay. We just won't ever ask him about his ears." So a little bit later, Jeremy went aft, and there, sure enough, was old Angus on Dingle the Hogan Beg, with his bag in one hand and his tools in the other, looking as black as the rocks of New Brunswick. So Jeremy says, "I guess you'll be wanting to go, Angus." "Grouf," says Angus, or something like that.
"But you know," says Jeremy, "now that me luck has turned, I'll be needing a good man to help me out."
"Rumph," says Angus, or something the same.
"Like yourself, you know," said Jeremy Brown, "though it's bothering all I could pay you now."
Angus gives Jeremy Brown a look that would turn your collar up twice, and he says, "What about the Tummy Hogan?" "And where and away," says Jeremy Brown, "can I ever be finding a cook like himself?" Old Angus stares at the foremost trestle trees for a minute, like they didn't belong there and didn't they know it all along, and finally he says,
"You can have your yawl boat back in good riddance."
And oh, it's away and forward he goes, and he stumps down the scuttle and into the forecastle to stow his gear in his bunk. And that was that.
Watched over and cherished by angels on high.
Have you heard glad tidings from Bethlehem? Have you heard the new king is born? Have you heard the sounds of rejoicing all on this cold Christmas morn? All on this cold Christmas morn.
Salvation, a Savior is born to be King of all kings, to lead us from evil and away from temptation. Glory and peace will His covenant bring.
Have you heard glad tidings from Bethlehem? Have you heard the new King is born? Have you heard the sounds of rejoicing? All on this cold Christmas morn.
darkness and into the light. Sinners repent and shun the dark jester. Rise up and follow the pathway to right.
Have you heard glad tidings from Bethlehem? Have you heard the new king is born? Have you heard the sounds of rejoicing all on this cold Christmas morn? All on this cold Christmas morn.
Out in chorus as winds of change blow gentle and mild. Bells of peace they ring out before us, chiming their praise to the heavenly child.
Have you heard glad tidings from Bethlehem? Have you heard the new king is born? Have you heard the sounds of rejoicing all on this cold Christmas morn, all on this cold Christmas morn? Have you heard glad tidings from Bethlehem? Have you heard the new king is born? Have you heard the sounds of rejoicing all on this cold Christmas morn, all on this cold Christmas morn?
The Irish Rovers are started out that set with Three Jolly Rogues, wound it up with Have You Heard, and after that, Loudon Wainwright, Christmas Morning, and then the little story, Jeremy Brown and Jeannie Teal, the story of the folks from down Nova Scotia way. Gordon Bach with his terribly understated sea story with all of its funny, funny little innuendos. May your pipe stink, and then he smoked and his pipe tasted funny and things like that. The Tommy Hogan, the Dingle Hogan. And we play that about once every 3 or 4 years because it is sort of, like I say, understated. And there are those folks who think it drags things down. I don't think it does at all. I think it's an interesting piece of culture. And Gordon Bach is so good at writing sea stories and writing about folks from that neck of the woods. Jeremy Brown and Jeannie Teal. I take a little bit of a break. This is our holiday show. We're getting on towards the last half hour of it. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marr. A little music box action for the break here. Thank you.
Christmas in the alehouse, and the atmosphere is cheery. Holly boughs and candles brighten up the dark and dreary. We sit and crack with glass in hand and celebrate the season. We drink to health and happiness or any other reason.
So here's to the company, and here's to you and me. Oh, merry is the season, boys, and merry we will be.
There's doctors and there's farmers, there's teachers and there's sailors, there's lawyers and there's carpenters, there's soldiers and there's sailors. We join with one another there in revelry and folly. The Christmas spirit's high, for we shun all melancholy.
So here's to the company, and here's to you and me. On merry is the season, boys, and merry we will be.
Well, the fiddlers and the pipers, they've got their afters ringing, with jigs and reels to make you dance and carols for the singing. Goodwill and friendship does abound, there's love and praise aplenty, especially for the one who buys when the glass is empty.
So here's to the company, and here's to you and me. Oh, merry is the season, boys, and merry we will be.
As we sing the carols in close harmony. bells at midnight, ring them loud and clear. They ring the bells at midnight, Christmas is here. They ring the bells at midnight, midnight so clear. They Christmas is here.
Midnight, midnight.
They ring the bells at midnight.
Midnight, midnight.
They ring the bells at midnight.
Midnight, midnight.
They ring the bells at midnight.
I used to know a love song. It was something about a flower that blossomed out too early when a sunny day turned sour. Only for an hour, there's a blossom in the snow. The innocence is beautiful, but what a way to go. Frozen in the snow, singing spring is coming, frozen in the snow. But I was just a young thing when the 60s were in swing. They were singing of Aquarius and all that it would bring. A lot of dreams got frozen when the time turned bitter cold. Blossomed like a flower, what a way to go. Frozen in the snow, singing spring is coming, frozen in the snow.
shangbara shangbarash shangbara shangbara cha shangbarash cha jaldang budujunda shangbara shangbarash
Fleck and his Fleck Tones, Jingle All the Way, the name of that album. And we're looking here. I think that's Tibetan. They had the Tibetan throat singer in there. Bela Fleck went to all over Asia and spent time doing all kinds of different things and checking out a lot of the music there. And actually, he did it with Abigail Washburn, and they actually just released an album just recently. But this holiday album's been out now for 3 or 4 years. Yeah, interesting stuff in that set. David Wilcox and the Chieftains from their wonderful masterpiece album called The Bells of Dublin. And it's all such great stuff, isn't it? Great stuff. We have one more holiday show coming up next week. And we'll have the Christmas Revels, and we'll have Heidi Muller and Bob Webb, and we'll have all kinds of folks that you need to keep track of for our holiday season shows. Un Jung Shin doing the playlists and doing the Wikipedia stuff and trying to keep all of these things in order. Coming in here on a Sunday morning to record all these. It's actually kind of a peaceful Sunday morning, really. Inland Folks, a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marr. I want you folks to have great holidays. I want you to have fun making good music and enjoy everything that good music can give you, and take all those good roads anywhere you want to take them, because they are your roads, folks, and nobody else's. We're going to be back next week for another edition of Inland Folk, brand new holiday show. You hold your horses, because we're coming back. Hang on, hang on, hang on. We're coming back in 1 week. Hang on now. See ya. Bye.